Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, will America ever have a female president?
Yes, I believe America will have a female president, but we need to believe in that and work towards it. I do think you had outstanding candidates in the process this year. Of course, the last nominee on the Democratic side was a woman. We have a historic Speaker of the House who's a woman in the Democratic House. The Democratic Party elected historic numbers of women to Congress just a little over a year ago. So speaking for my political party, I feel proud of the way women have taken leadership roles as our nominee, as Speaker, as members of Congress and the Senate. We are clearly on track to have a woman president. It's not in the cards this year, clearly, but it's one of the reasons why I'd love to see a woman as vice president, as our nominee for vice president.
You got anybody in mind?
There's a bunch of great people out there. I don't want to start getting ahead of our nominee, but, you know, you don't have to look far. You can start with the women who ran for president. Some of them are, I think, would be outstanding choices. There's a number of my colleagues in the House that I think would be great, and in the Senate. A number of governors. You know, the Democratic Party has a number of really qualified, really impressive women who would be great choices for vice president. I think it's very important to put a woman on the ticket this year, and I feel confident you'll see that.
Now, having spoken with you many times about this, you were a backer of Beto O'Rourke for president, and you said on this show that it was time for a new, younger leadership. But now they're both backing Joe Biden. Why Biden over Sanders, and can Biden win?
Well, I feel like I should mention that I endorsed the vice president before the Iowa caucuses, and so I have been on Team Biden now for several months. And I think you're seeing the logic of Joe Biden's candidacy come into focus because he is the only candidate in this cycle who has demonstrated that he can represent the whole coalition that is the Democratic Party. I think Beto O'Rourke is an exciting leader who has a great future. You know, he and I were elected to Congress together. We're great friends. I thought he could do the same thing. Look, the problem is not, you know, older candidates. The problem is older ideas. The problem is not people who have a lot of experience in the public sector. It's people who are prisoners of that experience and who can't see the future. What I'm excited about that is happening right now is you're seeing the Democratic Party come together behind a strong candidate and bringing into that movement people like Beto O'Rourke, people like Pete Buttigieg, people like Amy Klobuchar, who are the next generation of leadership for the Democratic Party. And I think that's exciting. And I think that you will see a very strong Democratic ticket emerge from the convention, almost certainly with a woman as the nominee for VP. And you will see us united in the fall.
Sean Patrick Maloney, I guess I want to ask you about H.R. 3. I had high hopes for that. It's the Democrats' prescription drug bill. I take it as long as you have Mitch McConnell, you ain't having H.R. 3.
Well, it sure is a choice, isn't it? I mean, which would you rather have, a historic reduction in prescription drug prices or Mitch McConnell? I mean, because you're right, that is the choice right now. You could have a cap on your out-of-pocket expenses for prescription drugs in the Medicare program, or you could have Mitch McConnell. I mean, H.R. 3 would finally, for people who don't know, have the federal government negotiate with the big drug companies to lower prices in the Medicare system, and then extend those lower prices to people with private insurance plans. This would revolutionize the way we pay for prescription drugs in this country. It's doable. It has bipartisan support, and we could absolutely get it done. Mitch McConnell is sitting on this, but lowering people's prescription drug costs is the number one thing we could do to help working and middle-class families. I mean, anybody who's got a kid with type 1 diabetes who's trying to pay for insulin, anybody who has ever tried to fill a prescription and wondered how it could cost so much knows what I'm talking about. We can do that. By the way, most countries around the world do this. It's one of the reasons we pay 3-4 times as much for our prescription drugs as most countries around the world. We do this in the VA system. We negotiate prices in the VA system now. Medicare needs to do it, and we need to extend those prices to people with private plans. We can get that done. That has to happen to help middle-class and working families.
And closely tied to that, you've just referred to it, is the Affordable Care Act. It Trump is doing everything in his power to destroy it. Will he succeed? And if the Democrats win, what will they do on health care?
Well, I really want to be specific about this because I think sometimes people think this is just a partisan football. Democrats and Republicans are just going to keep fighting about this. But people need to know. Right now, the administration is in court joining a number of Republican attorneys general trying to strike down the Affordable Care Act. They have been partially successful at that, and it's being appealed right now to the Supreme Court. That means that what is at risk is this is not just some political talking point, but the protections for people with pre-existing conditions, which people understand now are so important. The ability to keep your kid on your insurance policy until he's 26, that so many middle-class families benefit from now. All of the patient protections, you know, the fact that we don't charge women more than men anymore for health insurance, all of the things, those hard-fought gains are being put at risk and could be struck down by the courts. This is what the president and his Republicans in Washington, his allies in Washington, have set in motion. You know, sometimes they act like they don't mean it. The president will come out and say, oh, I support coverage for pre-existing conditions, or nobody's going to hurt your health care. But, of course, their actions have consequences. Up to now, people like the Democrats in Congress and even John McCain, a Republican senator, have stopped the Trump administration from destroying Obamacare. But they haven't stopped in the courts, and they haven't stopped in other ways. And we have to not only preserve the Affordable Care Act, we've got to build on it.
I want to ask you a little bit. We only have a couple of minutes, but I want to ask you, because it's of great concern to you, I know, and to your constituents, and certainly to me, and that is, any progress on climate change, or do we just throw up our hands?
No, there's progress in the short term because of the move away from coal, which has allowed us to bring down overall emissions, which is a good short-term story in the United States. Now, it's based on natural gas, and people understandably have real concerns about that, both for its reliance on fossil source, obviously, but also methane and the rest. But what I support is, first of all, the Green New Deal. I think that we need a moonshot approach to this, and I've got a bunch of questions about how we get there, but I support the Green New Deal. I think it's very important that we incorporate things like carbon capture and storage into the Green New Deal, because the goal should be zero emissions. You don't need to be zero fossil fuel. You need to get to zero emissions as fast as possible. But the twin goal must be preserving the economy, making sure people energy prices stay low, and we don't put our economy into recession as we try to save the climate. We need to do both. But I also support things like property-assessed clean energy. I carry that bill in the House. This would allow homeowners everywhere in America to finance energy improvements through their property tax bill and pay for it out of the savings. That one step would allow us to retrofit every home in America in a way that people can afford because you finance it out of the savings. That's a great idea. We should do it. In addition to that, we can put a price on carbon, tax it, and refund that to people who pay it so that consumers are held harmless, so their taxes don't go up. But we properly price carbon in the market vis-a-vis renewables. Those three steps that I just mentioned are real things we can do, together with rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, reclaiming a role as a leader in the world. And that will keep the progress we've made moving. So absolutely, we don't need to give up on the climate. We can make progress. We can do it in time to save the climate and preserve our economy. But we need to get going.
We've been talking to Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, in office since 2013. Sean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You make great sense. I so appreciate your being with us.
Thanks, Alan.